Welcome to the latest episode of the Apple at Work podcast. This is a podcast about all things Apple and the enterprise, education, retail, and everything in between. This week, we have a special guest, Andrew Shikiar. He is the Executive Director and Chief Marketing Officer for the FIDO Alliance. Andrew, welcome to the show.
Hey, Bradley. Nice to be here. Thank you very much.
So the FIDO Alliance has been in the news recently. Talk to us about what was announced at Apple's Worldwide Developers Conference that most people didn't realize was very impactful to the FIDO Alliance, but talk to us about what was announced that's going to be great for people who are interested in FIDO technology.
Yeah, absolutely. No, we're super excited. That is part of Apple's updates around iOS 14 and Safari 14. They announced support for the Web Authentication Protocol, which is part of the FIDO 2 standards in Safari 14, which means that Apple device users will be able to use the on-device biometrics, so Touch ID or Face ID, instead of depending on passwords for sites that support FIDO authentication.
Yeah, I cannot tell you how overwhelming passwords can be at times. Like just, I kind of look at it too as convenient as Apple Pay has made paying for things online, FIDO technology through Face ID, through Touch ID on the web is going to take that to web logins. When I'm on a website and now I see pay with Apple Pay, I think, well, this is great. This is an easy process. And so it's really going to be fantastic. So it's great to see Apple building this right into iOS 14. And I'm assuming, is it coming to Mac OS as well?
I believe so, yeah. So it's a Safari update that will be on Mac OS and iOS.
My son, he's really into Fortnite, and we were driving somewhere the other day, and he said, Daddy, what does 2FA mean? And so that led into a very great discussion with a nine-year-old about what's the difference in regular logins and how does someone hack your account and then what these two-factor authentications do, and explaining to him like about Touch ID and Face ID. And so I guess, can you kind of give us a backstory on how did the FIDO Alliance come to be? We've all known passwords have been very difficult for years. It's been an ongoing problem for users in the enterprise and the consumer space. But like, how did the FIDO Alliance come to be?
Yeah, I think you hit it on the head, right? Passwords are a challenge to all parties involved, right? Back when I used to do public speaking, I'd often start the talk by, everyone raise your hands who likes passwords and wants more passwords, right? And inevitably, there's one joker who'd raise their hand, but in reality, all of us as human beings, as consumers, can relate to the password challenge. But more important than that, perhaps more important, is the risk that they pose to businesses. So the vast majority of data breaches are caused by passwords, either stolen credentials, corrupted credentials, or just bad password hygiene. And that's why FIDO was formed. Right, FIDO was launched to address the data breach play. And fundamentally, what we're trying to do is, yes, we're trying to reduce reliance on passwords and eliminate dependence on passwords. But on a broader level, we're really trying to eliminate dependence on server-side shared secrets. Right, so whether that's a password or any other sort of server-side authentication method, we want to move away from that to one where users can authenticate locally, easily, on top of an architecture, based on asymmetric public key cryptography. Now that's a mouthful, but the beauty of FIDO's vision that it's meant to be simpler, stronger authentication. So you don't need to be able to pronounce asymmetric public key cryptography to use it. That's part of the goal here. So I say server-side shared secrets. Yes, that includes passwords. And it also includes OTPs. All right, so before FIDO was launched, FIDO wasn't the first approach to two-factor authentication or multi-factor authentication. And to be clear, any form of MFA or 2FA will protect you from the vast majority of kind of scalable attacks. But more targeted phishing attacks and replay attacks, man-in-the-middle attacks, can absolutely still take advantage of an OTP as a second factor, a one-time passcode. So the way that works is, a bad actor basically sends a targeted phishing email. The recipient opens the email, hits a link. They think they're interacting with a legit website, and they get a message back saying, "Oh, please enter. Send us. We're going to enter your OTP code." They enter the OTP code. The person in the middle relays that to the real server, and then presto, taking over the account. And so that's why it's really important to, you know, not just look at MFA, but really look at unphishable MFA, and that's what FIDO brings to the table. And so that's why it's so important, you know, that Apple is bringing this capability to, you know, an added, you know, very important large swath of users. The other thing, you know, I want to highlight is that, you know, the user dependence on passwords can be mitigated through password managers or Apple Keychain. They do a great job of that. You know, so when you're on your iPhone and storing your password or giving you strong passwords, but at the end of the day, there's still a password on the server, right? Anything on the server can and will be stolen. And so what you really need to do is, you know, stop the cycle of, you know, dependence on passwords, which end up being, you know, stolen, inevitably stolen, put up in the dark web, you know, where criminals can purchase them and, you know, do credential stuffing to target a variety of e-commerce sites and merchants with, you know, stolen usernames and passwords, which have an inordinate success rate around 2%, which leads to, you know, massive fraud costs and infrastructure costs for those merchants and anyone really doing online commerce.
This week of Apple at Work is sponsored by iMazing Configurator. If you've been around the iOS scene for a long time, you know that iMazing is a very, very popular app for kind of going deep on iOS and iPadOS data. I've used iMazing for years to save file space on devices when people bring me their phones, they're completely full and they can't figure out why. iMazing has always been the tool I've used. And they have a new tool called iMazing Configurator that is really, I look at as the Swiss Army knife for Apple IT admins. It builds upon what Apple Configurator can do and really takes it to the next level. With iMazing Configurator, you can design blueprints in a very readable and very easy to understand interface before applying them in bulk to iPhones and iPads and Apple TVs. You can back up and erase up to 20 iPads at a time. Obviously, you'll need a massive USB hub, but Amazon has plenty of those and they work great. You want to check that out. Again, you can launch single app mode. So let's say you have a restaurant POS system that you want to use, but you don't want to use an MDM. You just want to say, hey, I want to put this app on these iPads and lock it to that. iMazing Configurator can do that. Because iMazing runs locally, it can perform backups and backup restores. It can push custom apps, contacts, media, and files. And this is especially important for large files. So let's say you're a museum and you're trying to preload 30 videos on a custom application for your museum. iMazing Configurator can do that a lot faster than you can pushing it out from the web, having to download it over the internet. Again, this is all happening locally over USB. iMazing Configurator is also MDM aware and is compatible with devices that are already in the device enrollment program through Apple Business Manager and Apple School Manager. Again, this is one of those tools that once you have it, you'll never want to manage devices, deploy devices without it. Request your free trial of iMazing Configurator at iMazing.com/configurator. Again, that's iMazing.com/configurator. Thanks to iMazing for sponsoring Apple at Work this week.
Yeah, obviously, when people right now are thinking logging in with FIDO and the FIDO technology is mainly for like e-commerce websites. Do you see this extending anywhere else in the enterprise, particularly even in healthcare, of device authentication, logging into machines? I mean, kind of like what's the grand vision for the FIDO Alliance?
While, you know, the idea of a passwordless experience for consumers certainly is appealing and something that we think will become reality, the fact of the matter is a lot of the initial adoption of FIDO has been within the enterprise. So when you look at the initial FIDO use cases, there was a biometric specification, which was a password replacement, and then a second factor specification called FIDO U2F, Universal Second Factor, which introduced the concept of a security key. So before I was talking about, you know, traditional means of 2FA, a lot of those were dependent on, you know, external hardware tokens, which were linked to a single service. The beauty of FIDO U2F, or the second factor experience, was that you'd have a single token, often a USB fob, something like that, which can, you know, work against multiple services. So that's why one reason why, you know, FIDO security keys became, you know, very popular. And also, of course, they support the same unphishable, you know, FIDO approach to user authentication. Now, these security keys have been deployed very widely. There's been some interesting case studies, not least of which is a case study from Google, in which they deployed security keys to, I think, you know, 80,000 employees, something like that, over a multi-year span. Not one of them was successfully phished to their Google accounts, right? So it proves that security keys are, you know, truly an unphishable approach to user authentication, In addition, there's a much better kind of ease of use than depending on traditional tokens or TOTP methods where you're juggling devices and things like that. So I think that that security key approach has been widely adopted in enterprise, and we continue to see more and more adoption of security keys. And these are devices from companies like Yubico, Faceyn. Google has their own Titan keys. You could do a quick search under FIDO certified keys on Amazon and come up with varieties that enterprises can deploy. Now, what gets really interesting, I think, you know, beyond the security key paradigm is along the lines of the news that Apple announced last week at WWDC about support for Face ID and Touch ID as an authenticator. Additionally, outside the Apple environment, Windows Hello and every Windows 10 laptop, you know, that biometric supports passwordless biometric authentication. So now, you know, as an enterprise, you have the option of empowering users to have stronger authentication with either an external security key or what we call a platform authenticator or the biometric. So Touch ID, Face ID, or Windows Hello, if you have a Windows environment or Windows machines in your environment as well. So I think the enterprise is certainly an important growth point and initial deployment stage for FIDO authentication.
You know, when do you see, like, 5 years from now, is the name FIDO Alliance and the technology behind it, is this something that end users see or that they don't see in terms of they just know they log in and things work and it's easy, they don't have to remember 30 passwords? Is FIDO's goal to be the behind the scenes, or do you want to become kind of like the terminology for password management?
I think it's somewhere in between, right? So we recently introduced a consumer mark and a consumer focused website called loginwithfido.com. And this is meant to explain FIDO to the average consumer. Now, we're not undertaking a massive consumer marketing campaign, but we think it's important for consumers to understand what technology they're using. But the hook here really is this is meant to be an asset for service providers that want to explain to their consumers how they're being authenticated. All right, so we have a lot of consumer, a lot of large service providers inside of FIDO Alliance that are deploying FIDO, and they say they want something, set of assets they can provide consumers with a common experience at login, so there's a higher comfort level with this approach, and that also facilitate, deployments for companies that might not necessarily have large branding machines who can develop their own brands around this. So we do have a brand. I don't think it's going to be necessarily a mainstream consumer brand, but our hope is that the iMark will become the equivalent of the Bluetooth mark or the Wi-Fi mark, right? Something like that, where it's something that's there and consumers see it's there. They might not understand what it means or how it works, but they do know that this means that they can log in, seamlessly, and that their data is protected, and that this is a methodology that's been built by and endorsed by virtually every major technology platform and leading merchants around the world.
Well, I think that's actually a great point. The technology vendors are behind this. This is not you all coming to consumers trying to get them on board. It's like we have to go to the device makers. And we saw Apple has joined the FIDO Alliance, and I think it's very telling, especially with Apple's role in the consumer space, but also in the enterprise as well. So they kind of have this two-pronged approach of getting devices into people's hands. So and I think it's in their best interest, and it's in Google's best interest, all these major tech players' best interest, to make password management easier and more secure, because it makes users happier, but it also makes them more secure. What are some of the goals? If you can speak on some plans you all have for the rest of 2020 and going into 2021, what are kind of the near term things we're going to see from the FIDO Alliance?
Yeah, I mean, I think, I talked a little bit ago about, why FIDO was founded, right? So FIDO was founded to, stop the data breach problem by introducing a new means of user authentication. And that's been our focus since day one. FIDO as a body does three things. One, we build technical specifications, right? So the FIDO protocols. Secondly, we run a certification program. So we certify products, B2B products that adhere to these protocols and can interoperate with each other. And third, we drive adoption and kind of market education programs. So, while the specs have been, are now fully mature and those are now in market, you're seeing it adopted, being adopted here by iOS or by Apple, for example. As that's now the case, you know, that really sets the stage for us to focus more and more on facilitating adoption and driving adoption. So I think our goal as an alliance is to see more companies be successful with their FIDO implementations. You know, one of the cool things about FIDO, as opposed to a lot of other kind of standards initiatives that I've been involved with, is that there isn't really an anti-FIDO, right? There isn't a standard that another kind of industry approach to user authentication. So the nice thing is you have this unified, you know, unified set of companies all standing behind FIDO, and you know, there's really kind of a missionary aspect to this, and that, you know, everyone's, you know, deeply committed and invested in FIDO success. So I think that going back to your question, and what do we want to see happen in 2020, 2021 and beyond is that, right? So we want to see companies be successful with their FIDO implementations and get this out in the hands of users to really start, you know, truly achieving our goal, which is to, you know, stop data breaches and to stop credential theft and all those nefarious things. Additionally, you know, as this is going on, as we're driving adoption, as we're driving deployments and establishing best practices, we also have some new initiatives underway, one of which is you know, bringing the same approach that we brought to user authentication to the Internet of Things. So we have a new working group inside of FIDO looking at ways to securely develop and deploy IoT devices, which we think is another you know, another big security area. You know, simply put, we're trying to take the password out of IoT. And then we have other work that's also emerging around identity verification, identity onboarding, and that work's getting started as well, which will help prevent account takeovers through social engineering and other mechanisms, basically finding a better way to do account onboarding to allow for easier account recovery. But those, you know, those will probably reach maturity in a couple of years, but in the short term, the next 18 months or so, the focus is squarely on, you know, helping companies be successful with their FIDO implementation.
Yeah, I think that's some great momentum you guys have. And I think that's going to be the success stories are going to be telling and be motivating when we can see companies that have said, hey, we've put this in, like we've secured passwords, we've made passwords easier for everybody. And again, I think this is a problem that affects the enterprises just as much as it does consumers. And I think if consumers can get comfortable like with this, like you said, with Bluetooth, and I think that's a great analogy, is to make FIDO as synonymous with password management and login authentication as Bluetooth is with like wireless headsets. It's like you just expect it to work. But most people don't realize like Bluetooth is a consortium of people that's you know, companies back. And so I think it's going to be absolutely fantastic. Andrew, thanks for coming on the show today and keeping us kind of in the loop on what's going on with the FIDO Alliance. We are really excited here at 9to5 Mac on the changes with iOS 14. It was exciting to see that. When I saw that video on the schedule, I thought, I think this is going to be fun. So, and I'm sure you all were hoping that as well. So this is going to be fantastic. I think we're in a good spot with password management heading into the rest of this year. Better spot, you know, because it really, as an end user and as someone that supports people with technology, this has never been something that we've been able to solve or even remotely have an answer. And now we do. And now it's just as much evangelizing it, getting it further integrated in all of our devices and all of our solutions as well. So we're going to have some links to more things about the FIDO Alliance and particularly this WWDC video in the show notes. So if you're listening right now and you want to watch this developer video to learn more about how iOS 14 will integrate with FIDO technology, definitely check that out. It's a free download from Apple. If you're not subscribed to the show, we'd appreciate you just subscribe to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, whatever. You know, whatever podcast player you're using, and if you can also give us a 5-star rating or a recommendation, that helps as well. Andrew, we'll have you back again soon, and have a great week, everybody.
Thank you, Bradley.